Congregation of Christ, the meal that Jesus Christ ate with his disciples before the crucifixion, this was his last Passover while here on earth, but it was also his first Lord's Supper as well. And I want to talk a little bit about this first Lord's Supper ordinance and notice just four things about it today. First of all, I want to remind you again that this is something that we do as believers only. With the institution of the Lord's Supper meal as part of the Passover celebration, Jesus introduced the new and better covenant in his blood. And of course, that was symbolized by the cup which represented his blood. When you think about the new covenant, we want to remember one important thing right at the outset. The old covenant and the new covenant are not the same. There are similarities, but there are also great differences. When Jeremiah 31 declared the arrival of a new covenant, we were told specifically that it is not like the old covenant. Well, how was it different? It was different in one way, that all who are in the new covenant know the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to suggest that anybody who gathers here on Sunday and celebrates the Lord's Supper with us, that they are automatically believers and part of the new covenant. I'm not saying that. The only ones who are in the new covenant, however, are believers. And that's a very important distinction because, you know, back in the Old Testament times under the Old Covenant, there were people who were members of the Old Covenant, and yet some were believers, some were not. And you say, well, isn't that true when we gather at the Lord's table too? Are there not occasions when there are some who are believers, some who are not? Yes, that's true. But here's the difference. People under the Old Covenant may gather both as believers or unbelievers, but they were members of the covenant community whether they were part of the believing community or not, whether they really knew the Lord or not. And you say, well, how could they be a part of that Old Covenant? It's very simple. It was connected with Abraham's seed. The promises were made to Abraham, the believer, and his seed. And anyone who joined a part of Abraham's seed was regarded as a member of the Old Covenant, whether they were true believers or not. The New Covenant can only be entered into, not by the attachment of a physical nature, but only because of the spiritual attachment that we have. Only believers are part of the new covenant. That's why Jeremiah says, one of the things that's different about this new covenant is that they all know the Lord. That wasn't true of the old covenant. Not everybody in the old covenant knew the Lord, but I'll tell you, everybody who's in the new covenant knows the Lord. It's the only way you can get in. That's by grace through faith. Every member of the new covenant, too, has the law of God written on their hearts. That means that they have a sense of what is right and what is morally appropriate, and they are seeking to carry that out in their lives. What's more, the Bible tells us in this Jeremiah passage too that God has promised to be their God, and they will be his people. There's no question if a person is a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't have to wonder, well, am I in or am I not? Am I part of the new covenant community or not? The Bible says that if you have come to Christ and if you know him, he knows you. You are his people, even as he is your God. You say, well, you know, what about that fellow Judas? We read about him in Luke chapter 22 here today. What about that man? I know there's a lot of questions about Judas here in this passage of Scripture, but I want to make it clear that whether Judas took part of the Lord's Supper or he did not, the fact remains that the New Covenant community is still only made up of believers. That doesn't change. We don't know the situation regarding Judas. It seems clear that Judas definitely was at the presentation of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. However, in John 13, It appears equally clear that the betrayer, that is Judas, left the room after Jesus had handed the piece of bread dipped in the gravy to him. Since this took place before the institution of the Lord's Supper, many believe that Judas was not actually present when the bread and the wine were passed. As I remind you, many unbelievers have partaken of the Lord's Supper, but that's why there is the warning given in Corinthians that we are careful to make sure that we eat in a worthy manner. What does that mean? Well, we'll talk about that in just a moment here. But to eat in a worthy manner certainly includes the fact that we know the Lord. That's the new covenant that we are enjoying, this covenant meal together, and those who are part of the new covenant are those who are truly believers. Now, going on to another point here, not only is this celebration for believers only, but it's also for rememberers only. I don't know if there's a word like that or not, rememberers, but I had to make it fit in somehow, so we just created one. Who are the people that are to celebrate this event together, as we did here this morning? And I remind you, those who come are those who, first of all, who come mindful of their own unworthiness. They are mindful of their own wrongs. They are mindful that their own works are not good enough to get them into a saving relationship with God. If people come to the Lord's table thinking, well, I'm so great, I'm somebody, I'm so special, and they come with that kind of an attitude, that's just exactly the opposite of what the Lord is looking for. Then, too, those who come must come mindful of how great their Savior is. That's what we celebrate here today, what we remember, that Jesus is a great and glorious Savior. There's nobody else like Him. There is none other good enough, like the old hymn says, to pay the price for sin. We are mindful of the fact, too, when we celebrate this event, that those who come need to come mindful of how God's grace is so great. Why are we allowed to be a part of His saving community? Why are we allowed to be a part of His heavenly kingdom? Why are we allowed to be part of His salvation? It has nothing to do with how good we have been. It's all of grace. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Even the ability to believe didn't come from you. Sometimes people think, well, we have that ability in and of ourselves. No, we don't. The Bible says that no man can come unto me except my Father who sent me draws them. That's the only way it can happen. We can't believe if God does not give us the ability. And yet the very fact that if you gather here today in the Lord's Supper and you celebrate this today as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a fact that is evidence of God's amazing grace on your behalf and on mine. It's totally undeserved. It's totally unmerited. We don't have any right to it, and yet it's all of Him. It's all of grace. And then, too, when we come to the Lord's table, we need to come as those who are mindful of how great they need to be forgiven, as well as to be ready to forgive others as well. The Lord's Supper celebration is all about forgiveness as well, not only knowing that we are forgiven by God through Christ, but also that we are a forgiving people as well, that we are desirous to forgive others. You remember the old story. The man comes to Jesus one day and says, how oft should my brother sin against me and I forgive him? 7 times? You can see what he's thinking. 3 strikes and you're out, right? Okay, let's double it and add 1 for good measure. 7 times? The Lord said no. 70 times 7. In other words, we are to be continuing to be a part of a forgiving community as well as those who are forgiven through Christ. A third thing that is true of those who gather at the Lord's table must come with a measure of discernment. And I mean by that, that we need to understand what is happening here. The bread that we ate today, as wonderful as it may be, it is not going to give you eternal life. It cannot enable you to keep on having eternal life forever because of this bread. It's just a picture of what Jesus has done. Jesus is the one who makes eternal life a reality for us. God is the life giver. God not only gives us our physical life, but God is the one who gives to us spiritual life. Apart from the gift of God through grace, through faith, which is also a gift, apart from that, there is no way that we could ever participate in having eternal life. And yet some people see all sorts of different things attached to the elements of this supper that we've had here today. I want to remind you to go back in your mind, if you will, and picture this event taking place for the first time with Jesus and his disciples. It should go without saying that the bread and the wine were typical or representative of his body and blood. His body had not yet even been given, so how could it be a picture of his offered up body in the sense that it keeps on being his body again and again and again offered up? Jesus' body hadn't even been offered up yet at this point. It was about to be, but it was a picture here of what was going to take place and not something that would create the reality itself. Neither had Jesus' blood even been shed here yet at the Lord's table when it was first offered up. And so we see here that there's not any truth to the fact that somehow this turns into the blood of Jesus Christ or the body of Jesus Christ, actually, that it's really his. And how absurd that would be also for people to believe that when they could see the actual body of Jesus Christ right there in front of them. Is it not clear that that bread could not be the body of Christ? There was the body of Christ. Did any part of that physical body of Jesus change in any way that they could see? It's a picture, folks. It's a memorial. You say, well, isn't it more than just a picture? Yes, it is one more thing, and that is that we do enjoy the presence of Jesus Christ at this supper, but not by having his bread become, or the bread rather, become his body, or the cup become, his blood. That's not what happens there. But, you know, Jesus has promised that where two or three are gathered in his name, there he will be in the midst of them. He has promised also that we are to carry out the Lord's Supper regularly. People do it to different amounts of time. How often they do it? Some people do it every Sunday. But whatever the case, no matter how many times you do it, at each of these events, we are celebrating not only what Jesus did, but we are also celebrating the fellowship of the covenant community that is ours in relationship to Jesus Christ. We're there with fellow believers, but we're also there with Christ himself. Christ is joined to his body. And as his body, his people gather together, there, I believe, spiritually, Jesus is present, but certainly not in some physical form as some people teach. We need to be careful to discern what is really going on here. But I think most important of all, that this is a celebration that is for members only. And I want to qualify that right at the outset. I am not suggesting that only people who are regular attenders here could partake in the Lord's Supper. Those who hold that view have referred to this as closed communion, and there are good gospel preaching churches out there who follow the practice of closed communion. Only members of that local congregation or at a part of a denomination of believers, only they are allowed to gather at the Lord's table unless special permission is granted. There are people who believe that. I don't find any of that going on here at all in the initial Lord's Supper celebration, nor do I think that's what is intended here. It is a closed communion, however, in the sense that it is only for those who belong to the body of Jesus Christ. And who is that? All who believe. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are joined to Him and you are joined to His people. We are part of the one true body of the Lord. We are members of a spiritual body. We are part of the church of the redeemed. We have been washed in His blood. We are joint heirs of the kingdom. I think one of the most amazing things that's going to happen in our lives will be the time when the event occurs and we are brought home to be with Jesus and we are able to participate in the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's all kinds of discussion about when that supper is going to take place, but I never have heard any Christian group say that it's not going to happen. We may differ as to the timing of the event, but you know what? One day we're going to gather at the table with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that we're not only going to gather there with Him and with His people, but it's going to be across the centuries and across the continents of the world. And I believe that there are going to be saints of God from the Old Testament there, as well as saints of the New Testament. It's going to be a wonderful thing to be able to sit down someday with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob and all the great heroes of the faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11 and on throughout history. Great saints of God, many of whom we don't even know to this day, but we're going to be joined together around that fantastic event, that great supper of the Lamb of God. And you know, this is an eternal fellowship that nobody can take away from us. We're one body in the Lord, and nobody can ever separate us from Him. The Bible's very clear about that. Nobody can separate us from Him or from His salvation. And so, I say to you that any time that the supper is celebrated here, I want you to think about these things. It's for believers. I want you to think about the fact, too, that it's for people who are rightly discerning what is going on there. It's for people who are remembering all that Jesus has done for them and how badly they need what He has done for them. It's for those, too, that are members of the body of Christ. You know, sometimes in the fellowship of believers, things can become very challenging. There are times when we don't always see eye to eye about things, but you know what? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and as one body, we should delight in the fellowship with one another. And Jesus bids us to come and to enjoy that fellowship, not only with Himself, but with each other as well. It's all part of the communion of the saints. We talk about that, and yet sometimes we fail to realize how important this is, not only in terms of our relationship to Jesus, but even our own relationship with one another. It's vitally important how we care for each other and love each other and continue to fellowship with one another. And so today, as we have come to this table of the Lord, and as in the future we will do so again and again, may it be that even now that we might be preparing our hearts again for the day when one day this world as we know it is going to be over with and we're going to be joined with Jesus and we're going to share in the most perfect fellowship of all. The body of the Lord gathered together once and for all eternally to enjoy eternal happiness and bliss. Sweet communion, sweet fellowship. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ bids all who are of part of this way of thinking, He bids all of them to come. It's not for people who are so incredibly good, it's because of the fact that Jesus is so good and He has done so much for us. It's not because I can only come there if I feel somehow in my own heart that I'm good enough to be there. On the best day of our lives, none of us are good enough to be at the Lord's table. But you know what? We're all bidden to come because through Christ, He counts us as those who are welcome at the table of the Lord. And so, when you celebrate this from time to time, I hope that these things will be meaningful to you. There's a lot that is involved in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. and a lot of preparing of our hearts and our minds for properly celebrating that as well. But certainly it's something to be enjoyed. It's something to be delighted in, because it's a reminder again of everything that Jesus Christ has done for us and for our salvation.